Good evening. This is TNT Radio, brought to you by Bloggin Broadcasting Service, and I'm Nevin Campanella, your net reporter. Excuse the cough, folks. My cold is coming back a little bit, and so my voice is a little harsher tonight than usual. And today is April the 3rd. This is actually a very special day historically. I'll get into that in a minute. This date of April 3rd has a very deep religious significance. Now, remember, food, shelter, and medical care is not a privilege. It is your right. You're going to have to go grab it, though, folks. No one's going to give it to you, except maybe the shaft, and that you're going to get from the White House. This day in history, from Wikipedia. You know, I'm about to tell you something that I didn't know. Did you know that in the year 33, there is a listing of the crucifixion of Jesus? Now, that has been the traditional date. How anybody comes up with that, I do not know. I don't have a clue. But Wikipedia is pointing out that on April 3rd, in the year 33, Jesus of Nazareth was crucified. I do have to say this about the notation. In the brackets next to it, they simply state, traditional date. My guess is that somewhere along the line, out of the Vatican, most likely, they kind of conjured up this day of April 3rd. Now, there is another fascinating date of April 3rd, and I always loved movies about it. In 1860, the very first successful Pony Express from St. Joseph, Missouri, to, guess where? And I live almost right by it. Sacramento, California. Isn't that something? The first run from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California began on April 3rd. And you know when it ended? On April 13th. It took 10 days. I don't know how many horses they killed to do it, but it took 10 days from St. Joseph, Missouri. Think about that, folks. What those riders and had to go through, those horses and riders. I mean, we're talking about first across the Midwest, then up over the top of the Rockies, down into the valleys of the Rockies, across the plains of probably Nevada, and back up the Sierras. And they did it in 10 days. Is that amazing? Takes that long for me to get a letter. I mean, I've seen letters taking longer than that, and these guys did it on horseback in 10 days. Maybe we should go back to Pony Express. In 1882, American Old West outlaw Jesse James, on April 3rd, 1882, is shot in the back. And guess where he was killed? You ain't going to believe this. In St. Joseph, Missouri, right where the first successful Pony Express run started from. A lot of things happened in Missouri, right, folks? Now, do you remember who shot Jesse James? Nah, you don't know. I didn't either. His name is Robert Ford, and he did it for a $5,000 reward. I guess $5,000 was a lot of money in 1882. And I do know that there are still people today, I wouldn't call them the hunters, but they do go after criminals who do have a reward on them. 1936, on April 3rd, somebody got executed. Richard Bruno Huttman. Now, I know you don't know that name, but you're going to know the name. You're going to know the name of who this person killed. Charles Augustus Lindbergh III. That's right. This was the baby boy of Anne and world famous pilot Charles Lindbergh. I don't have many details of it. You know, I tried finding out. I know that he kidnapped a child. But how the child actually died, he died when he was still capture of Huffman, but it doesn't really clarify exactly how the baby died. That is why the laws on the books today regarding kidnapping all go back to Charles Augustus Lindbergh. It's also one of the reasons why the FBI were brought in. Anytime a kidnapping occurs, the FBI is immediately brought in, and it stems from that case. In 1948, on April 3rd, President Harry Truman signs the Marshall Plan, and that authorized, listen to this, $5 billion in aid for 16 countries. Today, $5 billion wouldn't keep them in toilet paper. That's what's happened to our currency, folks. We need a Marshall Plan for the United States. We got anybody there smart enough to come up with one? And did you know, I was blown away by this one. On April 3rd, 1953, there was a debut of TV Guide. Can you believe that, folks? That came out in 1953? I had no idea it was around that long. In 1968, Simon and Garfunkel, on April 3rd, released their critically acclaimed album, Bookends. Now, for all you young folks out there, if you get a chance, pick up some Simon and Garfunkel music. I'm telling you, young people, you're going to love it, especially Bridge Over Troubled Water. By the way, a little bit of background on Simon and Garfunkel. They actually split up twice. And some of it really had more to do with, I think it was Simon specifically, who was making movies. And that's how a lot of the problems started. They got together once, they broke up again, they got together a second time, they broke up again. Bridge Over Troubled Water was one of their last released albums or songs together. And The Plague on the Planet Today started on April 3rd in 1973. What plague am I talking about? It's the plague. You know, it's a disease where people have got this thing stuck in their ear, and they walk around stores with it. You can see it hanging out of their ear. It's like a disease. They're in restaurants with it. You can see people with this ear. It's called a cell phone. No matter where they walk, they got this cell phone. Talking and chatting, driving down the highway, getting into accidents, bumping into doors, tripping over their neighbors, but they got this damn cell phone stuck in their ear. Are you guilty of it? Sure you are, and so am I. But ever since I've got to California, believe it or not, I don't think I've used a cell phone twice. I haven't had need for it. Anyway, the first portable cell phone was placed in New York City on April 3rd, 1973. In 1974, you're going to find this one a bit odd because of what's going on in the news today. There was a super outbreak of tornadoes affecting 13 states and one Canadian province. 148 tornadoes in 18 hours. There was a death toll of 315 and nearly 5,500 people injured. Can you imagine that? 148 tornadoes in 18 hours on April 3rd, 1974. So who was born on April 3rd? Well, Marlon Brando was one of them in 1924. Doris Day, 1924 on April 3rd. Tony Orlando, singer. Remember Tony Orlando and Dawn? 1958 on April 3rd, Alec Baldwin. And 1961, April 3rd, Eddie Murphy. I like Eddie. Sometimes. I never really cared for his stand-up humor. Why? The vulgarity was too much. It was just too much. But he is funny. He is a good comedian in the movies. He really is. I did not particularly care for the remake of The Nutty Professor. I thought it was silly. I think Jerry Lewis did a much better job. Now, remember I said, because of what's happening today, 1974, the super outbreak? Well, there have been a lot of weather problems going on recently. For instance, what about the weather in Paradise, California? Well, I've been here about 15 days. It's rained 14 out of the 15. Is something strange going on? I was talking to a gentleman today in an art store, a longtime resident. He told me he's never seen it like this in all the time he's been here. Is there unusual weather in other parts of the country? Everybody tells me there is. Is our weather changing? I think so. I think so, folks. Comment time. BBS radio format change. Very soon, we are going to start broadcasting our shows 6 minutes after the hour. That'll be our first attempt trying to develop an AM format. The first 6 minutes of the hour will be used to for commercial purposes, possibly broadcasting the news. However, it'll also be used to introduce the programs. And that really needs to be done, because all we really have right now is one show to the next, and there's really no introduction. Unless you're looking at the index page of BBS Radio, you're not really going to know what's about to happen, and that introduction should be there. So we are going to try to develop it, and I did an experimental one last night on Water World Radio, and it went fairly well. On Thursday at 10 a.m., we're going to have a special guest, Donna Sebo. She does AM radio up in the Northwest, has quite a listening audience, about 270,000. She's coming on just this once. I'm going to try to convince her, of course, to do more, but right now she's saying only once. And I'm going to do a live introduction, and that's going to be really the kickoff for some of the new shows coming on, where we're going to try to get this first 6 minutes for commercials, news, and also public service announcements. We will do those. Tunes for the format. You know, I really don't know what to look at. I keep trying to come up with something to use for a fade out. And I've been using Hall of the Mountain King. It seems to work pretty good. And unless Don gives me another song, that's what's going to happen, is we're going to wind up with Hall of the Mountain King. But it is good. It's fine. I have no problem with it. When I finish the show tonight, tomorrow morning I'm going to publish the notes on it, on our new Blogspot, by the way. There's going to be an image of the AM clock. I'm going to load that up. So if you want to know what we're faced with in trying to get to AM format, go to TNT Radio Notebook. And there will be an image there that will show you the clock that we're going to move towards. King Kong! You know, I just recently got a chance to see the movie. I was a little bit reluctant, actually, because I couldn't possibly believe, after seeing that terrible second remake, that anybody could do a decent job with it. But I got to tell you, folks, that new movie of King Kong is good. The special effects will blow you away. But not only the special effects. Let's not get lost in that. They're good. Let me tell you, they are good. The story is actually good. It really is. The actors did well. And Jack Black plays a tremendous role, as you know, as that oddball director who's kidnapping people and puts them on a ship, tells them they're going to go to Singapore, and they wind up at Skull Island. And it's a good movie, folks. Don't miss it. I have a little thing here called comment section for me. The next comment, I don't know why, I wrote this at 4 o'clock this morning, is GWB nuts, stupid, or just incompetent? How do I comment on that? Maybe all of the above. I really don't think the man is nuts in the sense of, you know, is he psychotic, so on and so forth. No, I really don't believe that. Is he stupid? No, I don't believe that either. George W. Bush is not a stupid man. He does stupid things, but a lot of us do. He is incompetent. And with George W. Bush, I would recommend everybody go read the book, The Peter Principle. Everybody in industry and government gets elevated to their level of incompetence. That's what happens. I don't quite remember who wrote the book, The Peter Principle. It was written about 20, maybe 25 years ago. Believe me, it's still good and it's still meaningful today. Illegal immigration, a felony. How absurd. I mean, I, you know, folks, we're getting really crazy here with this immigration problem. Do I think we should do something about our borders? Sure. But I think it ought to be a controlled migration process. Certainly, we don't go around calling illegal immigrants felons. That's absurd. Totally absurd. Makes no sense to me. They're going to build a wall as if people can't climb over the top of one. What's going on at Pine Ridge Indian Reservation? This you got to hear about, folks. Pine Ridge Indian Reservation is attempting to open a clinic if, this is a big if South Dakota passes House Bill 1215, they want to open an abortion clinic. See, because it's an Indian reservation, they would not fall under the laws of South Dakota. Now, there's a little hook on this. One of the participants, I know this sounds odd, but one of the participants, either the doctor or the woman wanting the abortion, one of them must be an Indian from the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. That's the little holdup. It will work. And you know what you're going to get if that stupid bill passes? You're going to get other stupid states to pass the same bill. And then, just the way the American Indian built casinos for white men outside of their towns, you're going to have abortion clinics on Indian reservations. That's what will occur. If that doesn't occur, you might want to check out the website Molly Saves the Day. Folks, this website, you will never see a link to it in the national media. They talk about it, and oh, there's so many people upset about it. I have the link in my notes, and it will be posted. What's Molly Saves the Day about? It's a complete abortion do-it-yourself manual. And it's titled For the Women of South Dakota, an abortion manual. Will that actually occur? I don't really believe that South Dakota is going to get away with what they're attempting to do. I mean, first of all, it will get challenged. The whole process here, and they know it, the whole process here is to make an attempt to get it challenged and get it up to the Supreme Court, because what they want is another review of Roe versus Wade. That's what it's all about. Doomsday talk. I'm not really sure what that means. I got it in my notes. It's at the end of the world as we know it. Well, is it coming? The end of the world as I know it occurs every time I get out of bed in the morning. Yesterday's world is gone, a new world starts. I never know what the hell is going to happen 10 minutes after I wake up. Do you? No, none of us do. The end of the world as we know it happens moment by moment by moment. Are you frightened of the doomsday talk? Well, if you are, you're wearing yourself out for nothing. That's right. You're wearing yourself out for nothing. You know, folks, humans have managed to survive on this planet for I don't know how long. Thousands and thousands and thousands of years. We've gotten along just fine. We managed to survive. We bump along with the Holocaust. We do it with tornadoes. We do it with hurricanes. We do it with disease. We do it with plagues. But you know what? Humans always manage to rise above. We're strong. We are strong. There's nothing to be frightened of. Nothing at all. Be cheerful. Jill Carroll. Do you know who Jill Carroll is? You should. That's the young lady that was captured. You remember by the terrorists in the Middle East? She was held for a long, long period of time. Well, we have some conservative turkeys attacking her. Why? Because the only way she could get released, this is a very frightened young woman. The only way she could get released is if she got on the videotape that they made and praised her captors and verbally attacked the United States. That's the only way she could get released. And now we got some conservative idiots who are criticizing her for this. Well, guess what, folks? I encourage every one of you, should you wind up in that situation, my God, say and do whatever you have to get out of it. There's no honor in death. None whatsoever. And these people that are criticizing her, we should send them over to the Middle East and see how well they do. I thank Jill Carroll for the work that she put in and her efforts at getting the news. A hard job, and it was a dangerous job. If you find yourself a captive, get out of it any way you can. Net Service, Net Zero, and Earthlink. I had Net Zero, and I'm telling you what, folks, it's a zero. It's an absolute zero. It will lock up your computer, it will make your teeth chatter, and your computer will never be the same. Earthlink, just try to get divorced from it. It takes an act of God. I had to have a computer expert untangle my computer from it. Onward and upward. I can't believe it's 6:23. What have I been talking about for 23 minutes? Okay, out of the mainstream. Oh, the reason I brought up End of the World as we know it is because Eric Pianca, University of Texas professor, came out with some statements yesterday that seemed to, for some reason, shocked everyone. I don't know why it would. Basically, he said, quote, we would be better off with 90% of the human population dead. Every one of you who gets to survive has to bury nine. And I guess that bothered a lot of people. Pianca cautioned students and guests at St. Edward's University on Friday. Bianca's words are part of what he calls his doomsday talk, a 45-minute presentation outlining humanity's ecological misdeeds and Bianca's predictions about how nature, or perhaps humans themselves, will exterminate all but a fraction of civilization. You know, folks, we are probably the only species that shits in our own nest. Yeah, that's right. I mean, even a dog will walk away, you know, from where they lay down to go take a dump. Not us. We do it in our rivers every day. We seem to survive, but boy, I'll tell you what, sometimes we're really dumb. Really, really dumb. Pianca also says, quote, this is really an exciting time. He said Friday amid warnings of apocalypse, destruction, and disease. I don't know why he would say this is exciting We know where I'm about to get disease. Only minutes earlier, he declared death. This is what awaits us all. Death. Yeah, we're all going to die of something sooner or later. So what is at the heart of Priyanka's claim? Basically, what he's really talking about is overpopulation. And he believes that it's the overpopulation that is simply creating the problem. But he also believes that overpopulation will take care of itself through things like war and disease. Now, remember I said history might be repeating itself? Guess what? Today, tornadoes. Hail strikes 4 Midwest states. Parts of Arkansas were battered with tornadoes and pelted with softball-sized hail Sunday in storms that destroyed several homes and left dozens of people injured. Well, it's not like the storm that occurred. When did I say it occurred? I got to look at my notes again. In 1974. In which 148 tornadoes killed 315 people. No, that's not the case. But it is kind of odd. I say odd. That all of a sudden this appears in the news today. But then again, I got it off mainstream. And maybe mainstream also was looking at Wikipedia and decided to print this. But it did happen. It did happen. There were a lot of tornadoes across 4 Midwestern states. Tennessee, Illinois, and Indiana, but I don't know the fourth state. Oh, Arkansas. Another little note on that. Out of Rutherford, Tennessee, severe thunderstorms, packing tornadoes, and softball-sized hail. Can you imagine hail the size of a softball? I mean, boy, it's got to flatten the tops of cars. I just can't imagine it. I've seen hail the size of, peas. That's about the hail I've ever seen. Maybe a little bit bigger. But the size of a softball? That would be, just getting hit by one would be deadly. Here's an interesting little piece on cell phones. And again, maybe that's probably why I brought it up in comment. By the way, this comes out of the AP News. Even cell phone users get irritated at others who yak on their portables about their personal business in public. This was done by a poll. Most cell users find their phones very useful, with half keeping them on all the time. But almost 9 in 10 say they encounter others using those phones in an annoying way. I don't know about in an annoying way. The only time it really bothers, I don't really care if people want to walk in walls talking on a cell phone, too. I really don't care. The only time I find it annoying, or would find it annoying, is if I was sitting with someone, the cell phone goes off. Let's say I'm having a conversation across a dinner table in a restaurant. Cell phone goes off, and a person starts talking to the person on the phone instead of you. Now, I want to make a comment on this one, because I used to experience this numerous times with telemarketing people. You know, your phone is for you to call out on. It's your connection to the world. It is not other people's right to call you. If you have a phone call and you don't want to answer it, you pick up the phone and you hear it's a telemarketer, just hang up. Just hang up. That phone is your doorway into your home. You don't just allow people to walk through your doorway. Just hang up. If I'm talking to someone at dinner and the phone rings in their house, 99% of the time, the host would say, excuse me for a second, to get on the phone. They answer it and they hang up immediately and come back to the table. But in a restaurant, there are turkeys who will sit there on a cell phone talking business while the other people are sitting across from them at the table, waiting for polite conversation. Well, those kind of people aren't polite to begin with. People tend to talk on the phone. That's quite irritating. This is not coming from me. This is said by Pamela Sorensen, a 57-year-old resident of Bellingham, Washington. Quote, I often hear young people, mostly college age, talking about dating and personal things I don't want to know about. Well, that's kind of silly. Stop paying attention to it, lady. You have people talking around you all the time. If you're sitting in a restaurant next to another group of people, they're going to be talking about dating and personal things also. You got a problem, lady. Unless you're personally involved with the individual on a cell phone, what the hell business is it of yours? People chatter around you all the time. In the mall, at restaurants, while you're shopping, while you're walking down the street. So don't get weird with the cell phone thing. Editorial. This one I got to read straight to you. Now, I can't paraphrase it. Much too important. You really got to pay attention to this one, folks. The title of this is Terrorists or Victims. Comes out of New York Times. Quote, in Sierra Leone, there is a woman who was kept captive in her house for 4 days by guerrillas. The rebels raped her and her daughter and cut them with machetes. Under America's program to resettle refugees, she would be eligible to come to safety in the United States. But her application for refuge has been put on indefinite hold because American law says that she provided material support to terrorists by giving them shelter. This law is keeping out of the United States several thousand recognized refugees. America had agreed in principle to shelter. By any reasonable definition, they are victims, not terrorists. Somebody comes up to you, puts a gun in your face. You step back into your house. Of course, they're going to have shelter. They just put a gun on you. Yeah, we are strange. Next one is Grow Up Already. This comes out of, I think this came off of CBS News. Quote, I know the media in its endless search for what's new, what's in, and what's hot is always making a big to-do over very little. Now, the column, this column was written by Myrna Blythe. Quote, I forgot about this one. It's kind of funny. Quote from Myrna Blythe, maybe I need a life coach. A formerly sensible friend of mine said at lunch the other day, life coaches, career coaches, they're really, really big, end quote. Yeah, I know. I read all about it this weekend in the style section of the New York Times. Oh, one more. Let me give you one more. According to the New York Times, coaches have become a favorite in Hollywood where performers, writers, and producers have traded in their therapists for these very personal trainers. What do these life coaches do exactly? Well, Paul Towell, a psychotherapist and life coach, told The Time, quote, the difference between life coaching and psychotherapy is that therapy is about helping people heal their wounds. And coaching is about helping people achieve the highest level of their fulfillment or happiness or success, whether they're wounded or not. He reportedly makes $40,000 a month saying things like that to members of rock bands. Clearly, it's a good gig, and he's also full of crap. He's also full of crap. The whole point of therapy, folks, is to make your life different so you are achieving your highest level of fulfillment. What a jerk. And this guy is a psychotherapist. It must be in California somewhere. The only place I know that would have a psychotherapist, I would say something that stupid. But what about the life coach? Do you need one? What is a life coach? Well, I've got news for you. 40 years ago, life coaches were your family, your uncles, your aunts, your grandmother, your grandfather. Those were the life coaches. But with the dismemberment of the extended family, when it became fractured, people found themselves alone and without support. I don't laugh at those people looking for support. They simply don't have families that they can talk to. The life coach is doing today, or in fact, a psychotherapist too. They're one and the same thing. They're doing today what the extended family did 40 years ago. That's right. They're doing exactly the same thing. But if you don't have an extended family, you buy it. Why not? Why not? What it is a person who's seeking a little bit of solace. That's all it is. And someone to say to them, yeah, I think this is a good idea. Why don't you do that? So what? Someone's making money off of it. You know what? If you can feel better in this world of insanity, if you can feel better by paying somebody $150 an hour to say, yes, you are okay, go for it if you got the money to do it. Our world is so insane, so bizarre. I've had to come up with a salute for BBS Radio because of how I feel about the world in general. By the way, if you go to the bloginservice.com, you eventually will find information on the new BBS salute. Around the blogs. This comes from, I can't say the name of the blog on the air, but I'll give you the letters. It's called From WTF. You can guess what that means. That's the name of the blog. The title of the article is A Desperate Situation. Quote, Iraq is becoming a country that America should be ashamed to support, let alone occupy. The nation as a whole is sliding closer to open civil war. In its capital, thugs kidnap and torture innocent civilians with impunity, then murder them for their religious beliefs. The rights of women are evaporating. What do you mean evaporating? Something can't evaporate that never existed. That didn't make sense. The head of the government is the ally of a radical anti-American cleric who leads a powerful private militia that is behind much of the sectarian terror. I don't know who's behind it, folks, but it is occurring. And as far as the rights of women are evaporating, that's BS. Women have no rights to begin with. You can't evaporate something that doesn't exist. And in the Middle East, women have almost no rights at all. And in the U.S., they try to make believe that they do. Ooh, did I just say a no-no? They make believe. They pretend that they have rights. Let me tell you, folks. Women today still have to play the sexual card to do anything. That's right. Sad, but that's the way it is. From Excuse the Mess. Ooh, this is bad. This is bad. What's wrong with this guy is the question. It comes from the blogspot, Excuse the Mess. Listen to this. A youth minister punches and kicks a kid. What is wrong with this freak? We've all been hit in the head during dodgeball. The boy apologized, but this minister felt it was appropriate to knock the boy to the ground. And when he got up, kick him in the groin hard enough that there was blood in his urine. Now, let me read you the story itself. This comes out of Liberty, Missouri. Missouri again. I keep talking about Missouri tonight. Quote, a young minister was charged with assault for allegedly knocking a 16-year-old boy down and kicking him in the groin after taking a headshot from the teen in a dodgeball game. And the article goes on to describe, actually, the kid really did get hurt. Kicked in the groin like that. There was blood in his urine. What would possess a minister, actually, what would possess anyone to do something like that? You get hit in the head with a dodgeball and you go nuts? What's going on in Missouri? Folks, get it under control out there. This is from the blog called... You know, the blogs I'm talking about tonight, by the way, are not commonly known. I really had to search through it. I really enjoy going through the blogs. You wind up in some wonderful places. This one is called Shakespeare's Sister. Isn't that a wonderful name for a blog? Shakespeare's Sister. This is about homeless. Quote, within this distressing article about homeless people living in their cars, I find this little piece of information. The number of mobile homeless, as they are often called, tends to climb whenever the cost of housing outpaces wages, Dr. Hooper said. Last year was the first year on record, according to an annual study conducted by the National Low Income Housing Coalition, that a full-time worker at minimum wage could not afford a one-bedroom apartment anywhere in the country at average market rates. That's sad, folks. Ted Kennedy does have a bill where he's trying to get minimum wage raised. I think it's either $7.25 or $7.50 an hour. And he's only projecting it for over 2 years. But he's got an uphill battle. He's got an uphill battle. So think about it, folks. You got somebody on minimum wage. They're trying to make it. They have no place to live. They have no place to live. And you know what? You can't get a job unless you have an address. No address, no job. You want to know what else? You haven't got a job, you're going to have a hard time getting an address. Yeah, in a lot of major cities, they want to know who you are and do you have a job. Vicious circle, huh? Next in the blogs from the poor man. I have no idea what's here. Forget. Oh, yeah, I enjoy this one. It takes the name of this is, it takes an army of nitwits to hold us back. Quote, sometimes I'll be reading the news, looking for stuff to blog about, trying to work up a little righteous anger, maybe a vaguely original point. And then I realize that everybody I might get angry at, be they powerful or useless, is just a lying idiot, saying and doing the same transparently wrong-headed things over and over again, yapping in chorus with the whole caucus of soap opera amnesiacs. And I just feel exhausted and demoralized. Which means I then realize that their plan is working. Very clever, wingnut overlords. You see, folks, it is a plan. Most of you are sitting back waiting for the other guy to do something. And you feel demoralized. Why? Because you keep hearing this senseless chatter going on and on and on. They're winning. By keeping you demoralized, you buy into it. Remember, you decide how you feel. They're winning. So sit back and do nothing and watch what happens next in Washington, D.C. You don't like what GWB is doing? Just keep sitting back. Wait till he becomes royalty. Boy, are you in for a surprise. From Crooks and Liars. I like this blog. And by the way, Crooks and Liars is extremely popular. The title of this is The Risk in Reporting Real Stories in Baghdad. This goes back, by the way, to Jill Carroll. I'll tell you right up front. Quote, by conservative counts, nearly 200 civilian men have been executed in the past 2 weeks and dumped on Baghdad streets. Now remember, folks, Jill Carroll was reporting these kinds of things. Many have been hogtied. Some have had acid splashed on their faces. Some have been found without toes, fingers, eyes. Gentlemen who had been away from Iraq for more than a year wrote that something fundamental had changed. The violence had turned inward into sectarian warfare. That is what the Iraqis see every night. But a reporter's job is to tell the truth, even when it hurts. Americans should be grateful that such reporters such as Jill Carroll are risking their lives to chronicle this agonizing story and tell Americans not what they want to hear, but what they need to know. Folks, what's going on in the Middle East is a travesty. And now we are involved in a country's civil war. Do we belong there? No. Should we get out of there? Yes. It's that simple. Everybody's afraid to put a date because it will play into the hands of, quote, the terrorists, the enemy, and so on and so forth. We better do something, folks. It's getting really, really bad. I got about 1 minute left. See if I can get one more in here. From Kung Fu Monkey. Isn't that a great name for a blog? The Kung Fu Monkey. Quote, I often get riled, but rarely angry. But all via our delightfully improbable friend, Majesty. First read this. The night before journalist Jill Carroll was released, her captives captors said they had one final demand as the price of her freedom. She would have to make a video praising her captors and attacking the U.S. Well, in a long phone conversation with his daughter on Friday, Mr. Carroll says that Jill was under her captor's control. Ms. Carroll had been their captive for 3 months, and even the smallest details of her life, what she ate and when, what she wore, when she could speak, were at her captor's whim. They had murdered her friend, remember? Remember? Alan Enaway? They murdered him. She had been taught to fear them. And before making one last video the day before her release, she was told that they already killed another American hostage. In fact, Carol did what many hostage experts and past captives would have urged her to do. Give the men who hold the power of life and death over her what they wanted. Thank you, good night, and I love you all.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.